Welcome to the Chris Vaccaro Show, starring Chris Vaccaro, your lovely host, who got cheap seats to the Sebastian Maniscalco Show this past weekend in Atlantic City.
Ooh.
Despite all of his success in fantasy and gambling.
Wow. That was unexpected right there. You hit me with a low blow right off the bat here. And I guess you're right. I mean, the seats weren't the best, but you know what? I got them late, and I got myself into the show. So that's all I really cared about. And it was a great show. Maniscalco killed it, as always. Nando, you remember when back in the day we interviewed Maniscalco live on Sirius XM?
Oh, big time, yeah.
Before he was even famous.
Yeah.
And we were like, you know, just for the people. Oh, hello.
You were like, it was listeners. Like you were like Chris Farley on that Saturday Night Live, the Chris Farley show.
What do you mean?
Hey, remember that time you made that joke?
Hey, remember?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was great. Farley was great too. But yeah, now that's what I actually told. I actually told that story over the weekend. You know, I was like, I actually interviewed this guy. You would never believe it. Now he's the biggest comedian in the world, still putting on great shows. But anyway, it's not what the listeners came here for this week, Nando. They came here.
It's not like you not to buy the good tickets, though.
You want to go right back to the well, huh, my friend?
No, let's go. So let's talk about the Colts.
You know what? Let's give a whole.
Actually,
victory.
I'd be actually very serious about this.
Yeah.
Let's talk about. Well, I mean, like. Because it's all right. It's not about Jonathan Taylor because we know he's amazing, right? Mm-hmm. And it's more about like Michael Pittman and like Paris Campbell and like if Matt Ryan's going to be the quarterback for this team and Jeff Saturday has fixed the line, like, and trade deadlines are coming up right now, it's probably too late. I think everyone who's playing is smart enough to know like Michael Pittman's not a buy low, but is Michael Pittman kind of like a, you know, let me see what I can get for him?
No, I mean, listen, this game is changing on a weekly basis. 2 weeks ago, or maybe even a week ago, we thought Sam Ellinger was going to continue to be the quarterback. And it was a fire sale on Michael Pittman if you could even get anything valuable for him. If you did, if you were the manager that acquired Pittman on the cheap from an owner that was like, let me just get rid of this guy and get like, you know, a flex-type player for Pittman because he's done. You know, you're sitting here 1 week later laughing all the way to the bank because Pittman's back in style again. And that's
nice
just
targets.
That's just the theme of the season. This is a week-to-week game. We say it all the time. And I don't think Pittman has the, you know, I don't think Pittman's a top-tier wide receiver one, but I think he's a solid wide receiver two the rest of the year now that it looks like Matt Ryan's going to come back and every week starting quarterback, and why wouldn't he after their performance this past week? And, you know, tip cap to you, my friend, with your Jonathan Taylor call. I don't think you went too far out on a limb saying, oh, Jonathan Taylor's going to be the man. But
I said this is your last chance to trade for him.
That's true. You did say that.
I was like, hey, guys, Jonathan Taylor's good. I didn't say that.
I mean, send like a nauseating amount of text on Sunday when Jonathan Taylor was having a big game.
Well, you know,
like
tap me on
the back, Chris.
Texts. I said even tweets.
No, text.
Yeah, text.
Yeah, text messaging. Yeah. What did I say? I said tweeted?
No, you said text. You're right. Just
when you say
a T word, I always just assume it's tweets because you talk about Twitter so much.
You know me and my tweets, buddy.
That's right.
Now, listen, Jonathan Taylor is another one, right? We were all running for the hills a couple weeks ago. He was hurt. We didn't know when he was coming back. The team was falling apart. And now it looks like this will be a viable offense, and it's all because of Saturday coming in and making the executive decision to go back to Ryan, no matter, you know, I guess he got the okay from front office, but he went right back to Ryan. And who even knew that Ryan was even going to be available? Going into this weekend, his injury.
Right.
We probably all thought he was a couple weeks away with the shoulder injury. He looked good. He brought along Paris Campbell with him. He's a viable wide receiver three going forward, and the offense is pointed in the right direction, unlike many other garbage offenses in the NFL right now going in the wrong direction.
Let's talk about this tight end mess. It seems like we talk about tight ends so much. It's taken up 40% of our show this season.
It's funny that you brought that up and not me, Nando, because you get on me after the show and you're like, we always want to talk about the tight end position.
Might have context.
And you are the one that brought up the tight end position. But how can we not touch on the tight end position this week of all weeks with everything that's gone down in the last 24 to 48 hours. A terrible position gets way worse. We lose Zach Ertz, who was having an unbelievable top six, top five tight end season and was the answer for a lot of us that don't have Kelce and Andrews. And then last night, we lose Dallas Goedert for God knows how long here. It's kind of vague with the injury news. Let's throw in Gerald Everett. Looks like Gerald Everett's going to miss some time. I mean, this position is just falling apart, Nando. So what do you want to talk about with this tight end position that's going to be probably make up most of the league's winners and losers this year and overall champions, in my opinion?
Well, let me put it this way. So the team that I help my dad's friend with, we have Evan Ingram, and we're like, oh man, like what do we do? So we're looking at like we're trying maybe pursuing a
You
trade.
want to be a little more
You know what I mean?
specific?
Like
What does
it's,
that mean?
I mean, I don't know. That's what
What
I'm
do we
saying. Like,
do? What do you mean? What do you do with it? Evan Ingram's fine. He's healthy. He's going into a bye week.
exactly. He's got a bye. So should we be like, all right, we'll give you Ingram and something for a better tight end, or should we just be like, all right, let's take our chances with Isaiah Likely, and maybe get those 4 points and just get us past this week. We're good. We're a good team. Obviously, we're 8-2, but I mean, we can do that. But if a team's not 8-2, if a team's like 6-4 or 5-5, and they have Evan Ingram and they've been very happy with him, and you look at this list and you're like, man, there's Mike Gesicki, there's Logan Thomas, there's Isaiah Likely, there's
No, there's
maybe
nothing on the
Austin
list.
Hooper. That's what I'm
Oh,
saying.
Austin Hooper. Oh my God, Nando, please.
I'm just reading you the most viewed players off roster trends. That's who people are looking
No,
at. That's
listen.
who people are looking at.
I mean, the
Would
fact
you
that
pick
you
up
just
Daniel
told me,
Bellinger
it's
and
funny.
just win
Somebody
it?
asked me about Daniel Bellinger, and I didn't think he was expected to even return with the eye socket surgery, but now it seems like he's back in play and he's going to make it back. So maybe that's a sneaky, little ad, and you hope that in a week or two or three or whatever, he comes back. But Nando, in your position, just to answer your question real quick, you're fine. You're an 8-2 team. You're not a team that's panicking going into your week 11 bye week with Evan Ingram. So I don't
But I'm not.
understand what kind
The
of
show isn't about me. We're
well
being
it is
unselfish.
if you brought up the question asking, what do I do with Evan Ingram? Do I trade him? Why would you trade Evan Ingram? Evan Ingram just keeps moving up the tight end totem pole because everybody's dropping like flies ahead of him. So you look up after the bye, you probably got yourself a top seven or eight tight end at the position. And as an 8-2 team, you're not desperate going into your bye week. So your question is moot, my friend.
All right, no,
Sorry
here's
to
the
poo-poo
question.
it, but
I was setting it. That was the question. I was setting the scene. If I could get like Pat Freiermuth for Evan Ingram and something, or like I guess George Kittle, people might be down on a little bit. I mean, I know his name still carries cachet, but he's been kind of up and down. I mean, really, it's like Kelce, Andrews, Kittle, Freiermuth, Hockenson, Dalton Schultz, and then I think you slot in, I guess, Kmet now too. And then I guess you slot in Evan Ingram, like in that group. So anyone above that, maybe you make it try and make a trade for. But you got to be like way above that, I would think. Like it would be Kelce, Andrews, Kittle for Ingram and something.
Who's going to trade you one of their top five tight ends for Evan Ingram?
And
I
something.
mean,
And something. Well, like
and
what's
something. All right, so all right.
AJ Dillon.
This is one of you. Yeah, AJ Dillon. Let me run and get AJ Dillon. It's nobody's letting go of their tight ends. If you can upgrade your tight end by moving Evan Ingram and a piece, then yeah, go ahead. But back
Antonio
to
Gibson.
Antonio Gibson, I actually like going forward now. I think he's a nice piece that you're actually can help win leagues here because just for the simple fact that I think you're going to see J.D. McKissic get placed on IR soon. The neck injury, from what I've read into it, he's going to see specialists and everything. That doesn't sound like anybody that's going to pop up and practice anytime soon and be ready to go. So with McKissic out of the picture here, I actually liked what I saw from Brian Robinson in the game last night. It looks like a nice little combination that if it's just the two of them, they'll both be useful pieces as RB2s going forward between Robinson and Gibson. And in PPR leagues, you'll get a lot more out of Gibson, obviously, than a Robinson, because a Robinson will be like a one of these guys that could run for 85 yards on 14 carries and not catch a ball. And if he doesn't score, he's not really helping you. Meanwhile, Gibson could catch five balls a week in this offense. And they should play higher scoring games. So that's just my touch on the take on the Washington backfield. But back to the tight end position, Nando. Trey McBride is definitely somebody that I'll be keying in on to try and help me through and cover up my holes here with Zach Ertz, with the loss of my Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert chairs. That's one. There's really not much to go to on the waiver wire. I will say this, though. If you're looking as a Dallas Goedert owner, there are two names. One is the Trey McBride, okay? Because let's just assume Goddard's going to miss anywhere from 2 to 4 weeks, and you're a team that you know is playoff bound. So you're like, hey, all right, I just got to get through these next 3 or 4 weeks with a decent piece off the waiver wire. It's Trey McBride and it's Foster Moreau. Okay, Foster Moreau, I think for these next 3 or 4 weeks while Waller's out, I don't think he'll leave the field. I think he's one of these tight ends that could be 4 for 40 and a touchdown every week, and he can hit the board as a low-end tight end one. So those are the two guys that are replaced. As for a couple other names that you just mentioned, though, I think the arrow's pointing really high up on Dalton Schultz going forward rest of the season. Dalton Schultz owners might be, might be out of it. They might be 2-8 right now, or you know, because Dalton Schultz was a complete bust the first 2 months of the season. But now that he's back, Dak is back. Schultz is looking. Gallup hasn't progressed like, you know, managers have hoped. I think Schultz could be the legit second option in this passing game going forward, and you might see the, you know, numbers that Schultz provided last year. So I think Schultz has a chance going forward to be a top five tight end.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. So that's our outlook on the tight end position. But you mentioned a couple others, Freiermuth and Cole Kmet. Cole Kmet, I would love to get my hands on right now. It's just sickening. I mean, you're going to – if you want to get out the sad trombone from last week, I don't know if you're going to keep
that
going.
No, I don't repeat. I don't beat a dead horse, man.
Well, listen, you're going to hear a theme in the next hour, over the next course of the hour, because I'm down, buddy. I am sad and down. Between the loss of Cooper Kupp, we haven't even touched on, and the Goddard and Ertz, those three guys are on all my contending teams. So I took a really bad last 24 hours. So play the sad trombone if you want. But what did I do?
What'd you do? Were you like, all right, let's regroup and we're going to find someone new?
There's nothing else that you can do, Nando. This is the game we play. You know, we keep taking hits. It's not just this season. It's every season. You just got to hope that you're lucky enough. Luck plays a big factor in our fantasy game. We could call it skill all you want. And yes, skill is a huge part of this. And drafting well and working the wire well and lineup decisions every week, that's the skill part. The luck part is the thing that we can't control. And, you know, it doesn't make me a genius for drafting Cooper Kupp in the first round and reaping the benefits these first 10 weeks of him. But it doesn't make me a bad player when I lose him now to this probable season-ending high ankle sprain injury. And now I'm in trouble. And how do you replace a Cooper Kupp? You don't. There's nobody coming in off my bench or off waivers going to give me 25 fantasy points a game and lock into my wide receiver one spot every week. There's nothing you can do. You just got to hope that the pieces around you are enough that collectively, you know, you have maybe a decent wide receiver four on your team, or you went to the wire, or maybe you have a Rashad White sitting on your bench or Jeff Wilson sitting on your bench, and now you take, you know, everybody's your wide receiver two becomes your wide receiver one now, and everybody moves up the chain, and now you open up your flex spot, and a guy like Jeff Wilson or Rashad White comes off your bench and slides into the flex spot, and now you move on and you hope it's enough. But your team takes a big hit. You know, if you're averaging 150, 160 points a week, now you got to expect to get knocked down to 140s. You know, it's stuff like that. But it's tough to overcome when you're getting hit with injury after injury, and then on top of it, a couple players underperform each week. It's a tough game we play, and this year has been the toughest I can ever remember. So
if you lose Cooper Kupp,
mm-hmm.
and I think everyone's who has is in the same boat. Like, all right, I got to shuffle these pieces.
Yeah,
but with that extra spot, Do you strategically go one way or another? Are you like, all right, let me find a wide receiver so I can take a shot that maybe someone will pop a little bit and at least, you know, help blunt this blow? Do you go like after, like, let me just, it's a free spot at this point, let me grab a handcuff so maybe I'll get some kind of value somewhere like that? How are you approaching that? Like, strategically, for someone who's listening has lost Cooper Kupp and has that spot now, what would you say, like, well, get this, do that?
No, well, there is no answer to that, Nando, because the answer is, first off, you'd have to know what type of leagues that person's playing in. You could maybe, if you're the Cooper Kupp owner, you're in, you know, these 10 or 12-man leagues, you could go to the waiver wire and go pick up somebody that, you know, could give you 10, 12 points. But, you know, in competitive leagues at the high-stake level, there's no – you don't replace your first-round Cooper Kupp. You just, like,
well, you don't
said,
replace
you
it, but you have an open – you get an
open
roster.
Yeah, but Nando, I mean, this is – I mean, what do you think the answer is? The answer is you go to your bench. You hope you're, you know, not just a starting lineup.
Yeah, but everyone's doing that.
Solid. But so then your question isn't –
You My know, question is, do you directly try and replace a wide receiver because you lost the best wide receiver in fantasy?
You know
football?
What? You know what I love about you? You ask these questions that are infuriating
that
to our listeners.
How is it infuriating?
No,
no, it's not.
The complete opposite, actually. The complete opposite. What do you
think
the answer
is? Someone listening today.
Hey, you
I
lost
know.
Cooper Kupp. What do you do to replace Cooper Kupp? Nothing. You cry for a couple days. Okay.
Well, I gotta sneeze.
You sit there. You say, Jesus, this sucks. By the way, for our listeners, listen at home, our friend Nando here is dealing with COVID.
First time I got it.
First time in 3 years. This is what happens when you actually are a hermit and you don't leave your house for 3 years to even contact COVID.
Is that right, Dwight?
Contract COVID. So shout out to Nando, who is broke the record for the longest time without contracting COVID. Since COVID was born.
So I'm sure there are still some people out there.
Who's never had it in 3 years?
Yeah.
I mean, shout out to them, but you were the last person I knew that didn't get it. And hey, listen, shout out to you. You know, props to you for showing up for the show this week and fighting through it. But
well, it was really,
the COVID has obviously affected your brain because now it's three times that you've asked me, how do I replace Cooper Kupp? And
because
it doesn't
you can't
make
give us
any
an answer.
Sense. Yeah, because the answer is yeah, you go to your bench and your wide receiver four now becomes your wide receiver three or your flex play. And
right.
You got to hope that's enough. That's it, Nando.
That's
what
not,
can
I
tell you?
That's like an obvious answer. You're like, hey, what do you do when you pull out of your driveway? You're like, I don't know. I put the car in drive. Mm. But then it's like, where are you going? I don't know. That's what I'm asking you.
Okay. Your question is infuriating. That's well, it. Everybody knows what you do. That's it. You go to your bench. Is there a particular player? No. You just got to hope that you're deep enough. Everybody's got different players, Nando. I hate to tell you. So there's not an actual player that you go and replace them with. Okay? You want to go to the waiver wire and hope that Matt Stafford starts eating breakfast with Ben Skoranek every morning and thinks that he's Cooper Kupp for the next 7 weeks and says, hey, you kind of look alike and 18 looks like 16 on the field. So, hey, you know what? I'm going to feed you 22 targets a week. And Ben Skoranek, for the next 7 weeks, you're going to be my little Cooper Kupp. There you go, buddy. There's your answer that you're looking for.
We're going to call this segment My Little Cooper Kupp.
Okay.
Hey, so by the way.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell everyone why we're recording 2.5 hours earlier than usual?
Oh, my God. Yes, because I have another show.
The goat district.
That doesn't ask repetitive questions on how
it's
do
not
you
repetitive.
Re- how
it's
do
trying
you
to get an answer.
Replace Cooper Kupp, Chris? Do you? What's the strategy? Okay, Nando. The strategy is go to my bench and get my next best receiver or running back, and
that's
replace
not a strategy.
Him. That
that's
is
not
the
a strategy.
Strategy.
That's
it
not
is.
A strategy.
Right,
that's what anyone
too
in
much
the world
time.
Would do.
Your COVID brain is kicking in.
Yeah, and, I don't think so, man. I think, but yours for having it seven times, you get cheap tickets to see your favorite comedian. And you can't answer like
he was
if
great.
You try to replace.
He was great, by the way.
What, all new stuff.
Yeah. Like, what do you want to talk about next? That you
did
were
he hang
about?
Out?
Do you want to
did
talk
he,
about?
Did just, he hang out afterwards? Sign autographs?
Or no. We didn't go get something to eat or anything like that.
Can we say
what
like,
do you want to talk
let's
about?
Let's shout out
next?
The Goat District. It's a good show. Shout out Goat District. Goat District.
See, you are having COVID. Yeah, 100%. And look for that pod later this week, or actually tomorrow, probably. I'll be on the Goat District with Theo Greminger, Dan Williamson, and the guys this week. So that's always fun to go on that show. Great podcast. Not just saying it because they're having me on again as a guest. But it's a weekly listen, and they kill it. So anyway, and they don't ask Cooper question. How do you replace Cooper Kupp questions? What do you want to talk about next? Do you want to talk about Deontay Foreman? Do you want to talk about
No.
Justin Fields, or do you
No.
want to talk about how you were right a couple weeks ago? Are you going to remember being right about this? But I'm going to give you props. The San Francisco 49ers, that's all I'll say. What were you right about?
I don't remember. There's so
Wow.
much. There's so much.
You said a couple weeks ago.
I don't do that. I don't like victory laps, man. I'm not like
Yeah,
you.
you do, man.
I
If
don't
people
think
saw
so.
my text messages
Well,
to
that's because
you,
that's texting you. That's trying to get a response.
it's
That's
victory
trying to
lap
get
city, man.
a. That's because it's you.
Told you. Justin Fields, man. Anyway, so we're getting off course here, and you're trying to do it deliberately. Let's talk about the San Francisco offense, Nando. What you said a couple weeks ago was that CMC was not going to be the bell cow in this offense and get all the workload. And last week that didn't look true, but now Eli Mitchell comes back this past week and he plays a huge role in this offense, and it has the CMC managers a little panicky these last couple nights. So
Well,
what did you see that made you believe that?
I don't know if it was anything real. I think it was like the way they run that offense, the way Christian McCaffrey's kind of fragile, and maybe like the way Christian McCaffrey, I mean, like they talk about like he needs volume. Like he got his numbers, he had a lot of volume in Carolina. And San Francisco just doesn't really operate like that, I guess. Next week he'll have it. You know what I mean? Like they just
I think so too. I think
it's a
everybody.
frustrating, it's almost like the Rams, but like they're good.
Well, the
Like what the
Rams
Rams do with their
are,
backfield.
yeah. Well, oh God. Well, the Rams, yeah. Oh, that's what the Rams do. The Rams don't have any talent in their backfield.
That's why I said, but they're good.
Oh, I thought you meant
Oh,
like the
well, hold on.
team.
Cam
No,
Akers,
no, no, no,
Darrell
no, no.
Henderson.
Don't go down that road. No, they're all garbage. That's
They're
it.
not
Aren't any of them playing?
garbage. They have a
They're
garbage
not. Oh,
coach.
they. Sean McVay's a garbage coach. He just won the Super Bowl. Oh
Are
my
you going to defend him
God.
because you love young coaches?
Pfft. And you like old coaches. You love Tom Landry. That was
Steve
your
Wilks.
favorite guy. Anyway, I'm worried about this offense, and I'm not worried in a bad way. I still think San Francisco is one of the top three or four teams in the league and will continue to win week in and week out. And I think this offense is going to be fine. But I think what I'm saying is I think you're in trouble if you're the Debo Samuel owner, the Brandon Ayuk owner, and the George Kittle owner. I think you're in real trouble. I think we got a sneak peek of how they want to run this offense. They kind of want to hide Jimmy G. They want to just make him like a little bit of a game manager. They want to run the ball to death. They want to run the ball on first and second down, put themselves in a decent, third and three, then maybe let Jimmy G throw it. If not, they're running again. And what's going to happen is each week, either Ayuk, Kittle, or Debo, or maybe even two out of these three guys are going to come up empty in the box score. We saw it with Kittle and Debo this past week.
Is this going to
So
be a, like you say, like a frustrating thing where it's going to be someone's turn every week?
it's yeah, it's gonna be a different turn. It's someone's turn. Debo will have his 7 for 110 and a touchdown, and Ayuk will be 3 for 30, and Kittle will be 2 for 25. Like that'll be what the box score looks like. But McCaffrey will touch the ball, 23 times. Mitchell will touch the ball 15 times. They'll run the ball to death. They want to run behind this offensive line. They're going to be a great real life NFL team and a horrible real life fantasy team. If you're not the CMC owner, who's going to be a top 10 running back on a weekly basis, I'm not worried about volume or whatever. Okay, he's still going to get his. And I really think that after what I saw, and I believe Shanahan, I think Mitchell is going to play a lot. I think he's going to play 30%, 40% of the snaps. He's going to get his drives. He's going to get in the end zone here and there. I think he's going to be a serviceable flex play, low end RB2 on a weekly basis, even as a backup, in that offense. Somewhat similar to what a Jeff Wilson Mostert situation is in Miami after what we saw there. Can you look at either of those two guys as an RB1? No, but I think they're both going to be viable RB2s. You know, Wilson more than Mostert. I think Wilson's locked in as a solid RB2. I think Mostert's going to be like that Eli Mitchell type play, though. He's going to be like flex worthy. So a lot of backfields changing now, Nando. It's a lot of guys getting hot, a lot of guys fading, you know, and this league will leave your head scratching.
What about Kansas City? Were you on Isaiah Pacheco?
Great. So Kansas City, that's a good segue.
By the way, programming
another. Go ahead.
Chris didn't send a rundown this week out of spite, so he could just dictate it himself and make it look
natural. I'm glad you said that. So for our listeners at home that enjoy the show, usually I send Nando a rundown of all the topics I want to talk about and everything, and then Nando comes on here. Avoids most of them, but then he makes fun of me and acts like he reads his text message for the first time and says, "Oh, the San Francisco backfield is very interesting to me. McCaffrey and Mitchell. I like them both. Go ahead, Chris, talk about it." And it's annoying. So
it's good that we have the show that thousands of people listen to, and just out of anger. Mm-hmm. You're making it a worse show because you won't let me prepare properly for what you want to talk about.
Show. I think the show's going smooth still. I'm just bringing up the topics now that I want. You can't, as the host, unfortunately, dictate.
Go ahead. You
dictate
be the host.
What I will. Sit back.
Ask me a question. I'll be
will.
You.
I role play. Listen, you've been on fire with a lot of your calls, so I'll make you the analyst, and I'll be the host. We can role reversal here.
Ask a question. I'll ramble on for 3 minutes, mention four high-stakes things, somehow demean people who are normal fantasy players, and buy cheap seats to Sebastian Maniscalco.
Oh, your fourth time.
Go ahead. Terrible. Go ahead. Kansas City. I want to talk about Kansas City.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, too, because I actually have Kansas City written down here that one of the backfields I wanted to talk about, and offenses actually as a whole that really interested me this past week and going forward is this Kansas City offense. The backfield, you could forget about Clyde Edwards-Alaire now. He's done. He's got written out of the picture this past week.
It took 3 years, right?
Yeah, because that's what happens when you draft a running back in the first round. It's like you can't just give up on him so quickly. So they kept giving him chance after chance, but eventually he just fell out of favor. And it's funny because last week's show, I said to you, Nando, I wish they would just give the whole backfield. Just let Jerick McKinnon play like more than 50% of the snaps. Keep him in the backfield. This is all Mahomes in the passing game anyway. You know, and run Pacheco 5 times and let McKinnon catch 4 or 5 balls out of the backfield. And we were almost right about it because they, like I said, you know, they wrote Clyde Edwards out of the picture here. It looks like Pacheco is going to be that Brian Robinson type in Washington, where they're going to give him 10 to 12 carries. He's going to be a low-end RB2. Some weeks he's going to have his games where he's, you know, he runs for 80 yards and gets in the end zone, and the box score and the fantasy score will look good. And then some weeks he's just going to fall flat on his face with like 8 carries for 50 yards, no catches, no touchdowns, and he gives you 5 crappy points. But at least he's back in the picture here. At least we know who the back is, I think, going forward, that if you're going to play a Chiefs running back, it's Pacheco and McKinnon in PPR formats. So the backfield is Pacheco and McKinnon, but a lot of things went on with this offense. You know, I talked about my love for Mahomes, and that's a no-brainer. He's QB1 rest of the season. He comes in. What did he do this past week? Like 350 and 4 touchdowns in a game that was like kind of slow-moving and sloppy. He still put up huge numbers, even, you know. Juju Smith-Schuster gets hurt. He gets a concussion, a pretty bad concussion. Let's act as if he's not going to play this week. Hardman didn't play last week. Okay, I don't know how long of an injury this is going to take for Hardman. But now you take out the two pieces that I was loving this offense for going into last week with Hardman and Juju. Take them out, and who shows up on fantasy, you know, in fantasy people's good graces again after burning us as drafters of his for 8 weeks? Kadarius Toney.
Yeah.
I can't wait on the teams that I didn't drop Kadarius Toney in the last 2 or 3 weeks. Just good for me. Yay. Just like I didn't drop Fields and Komet. I can't wait to put Kadarius Toney in all my lineups that I still have him on rostered this week. I think Juju and Hardman won't be there, and all of a sudden Kadarius Toney walks into a situation that's gold.
He's going to run a few times too.
They'll figure out a way. If anybody's going to do that, it'll be Andy Reid. So
and the seven other coaches that do that with wide receivers. But sure, it's Andy Reid.
Isn't Andy Reid a genius play caller, though?
Is he? I don't know.
I'd say so.
All right.
I would say so. But yeah, I mean, that's all of a sudden, this is what happens. It's crazy. I talk about Fields and Kmet and guys like this. This is what happens. You know what else is going to happen this week? Watch. Elijah Moore is going to come back. The Jets are going to come out of the bye.
Oh, we're just going with Vaquero's greatest hits.
Elijah Moore, this is what's going to happen. I know, because when you're having a season like I am, okay, all of a sudden now Kadarius Toney is going to put up like top 15 wide receiver numbers in fantasy, like going forward. If Juju misses a couple weeks and Hardman injury lingers, Toney all of a sudden gets traded to the Chiefs and becomes a fantasy wide receiver too. Okay, Fields and Kmet, who I drafted all over the place, dropped them all. Those two guys are stars at their position. And now Elijah Moore, who did nothing for 9-10 weeks, he's going to come back. They're putting him in the slot. Watch him catch seven balls this week and all of a sudden show up on the fantasy, in fantasy lineups everywhere down the stretch.
Why don't you pick him up now before that happens? With your Cooper Cups. With your Cooper Cup emptiness.
You know what, Nando? How about that? That's to circle back. You want to take a shot on somebody that got dropped and is on a waiver wire and can maybe bail you out? Why don't you dig really deep in competitive leagues? Sure, Elijah Moore's available now after doing nothing for 10 weeks. And maybe he's your Cooper Cup replacement. Now, is he going to give Cooper Cup numbers? 100% no. But I wouldn't be shocked in a season like this if Elijah Moore going forward out of the slot, out of the bye with a couple weeks to prepare, is 6 for 70 every week. Maybe he scores. That's 20 points.
So what about Donovan Peoples-Jones? I don't bring him up just because he's like a guy, but like he's got a string of games. Mm-hmm. He's not getting the fantasy points because he's not scoring the touchdowns, but he's like 7 for 80, 6 for 86. He's really Donovan got a good streak. So no one's talking or like realizing this. Like he's
I didn't,
kind of on fire.
I know I didn't give you any rundown, but it's funny because Donovan Peoples-Jones is on my list here of people I wanted to talk about.
So. I actually had your girlfriend take a picture and send it to me.
It's really messed up.
I know, but I thought it'd be funny.
That's funny. Good one.
Your next one is, why is it so hard to spell Isaiah?
That's an inside joke, people. Anyway, Donovan Peoples-Jones.
The inside joke, why is it so hard to spell Michael? Go ahead.
You having a good time over there?
Yes, I am.
Good. Donovan Peoples-Jones. Let's try this again for the fourth time without you interrupting. Donovan Peoples-Jones is a secret. I don't know if people realize it, Nando, but I saw the stat. Over his last six games, he's crossed 70 receiving yards, 5 out of 6 games, and the other one was 55 yards. So he's gone over 50 yards 6 games in a row right now.
That stat you just quoted is called a game log. Yeah. It's from that site called Every Site in the World. But that was good when you pulled out there. I think I heard this thing.
But wait, I saw it on Twitter.
I'm sure you did.
I saw it on Twitter.
Listen to this scoop I got, guys.
I'm just saying, people, unless you go and look at every player's box score over their last 6 games, Nando, which, yeah, we can all do, but I'm just giving the people at home that didn't have that actually have a life and don't go and look at every person's box score over the last 6 weeks.
You can just look at the game Jones, log.
You've heard over the last couple of days, actually, the odd split between Cooper and Peoples-Jones that, when the Browns are at home, Cooper has the big games. And when they're on the road, Peoples-Jones has the big games. And that actually happened again this past week. I don't know how if that's going to continue. I was really looking forward to this upcoming week playing Cooper and Peoples-Jones on teams that I have versus the Bills here, hoping for a big-time shootout. And now I just saw before the show started that the Vegas total dropped 5 points because they're expecting multiple feet of snow in Buffalo and
Nice.
like wind over 20 miles an hour. So for those of you looking at the schedule and going, "Oh, Bills Browns, this could be a really intriguing game." And people have a lot of pieces in this offense, right? Unleashing Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, Cooper, right? On and on, Gabe Davis. We might get that all ruined with this potential weather. Hopefully it passes, but for Vegas to drop a total 5 points, this might be one of those ugly, windy, weather affected games. But yeah, after this week, if that holds true, I like these guys. I've talked for weeks at a time now, Nando, about this Browns offense. I think it's an offense that is going to win a lot of people leagues, along with the Miami Dolphins offense. But this Browns offense, Peoples Jones, Njoku hopefully is back this upcoming week or isn't at least too far out. Chubb's doing his thing, and Cooper. But yeah,
And then
Peoples Jones
Deshaun
has to
Watson's going to
be.
show up and ruin it for everybody.
Yeah, I'm sure he will. But I think Peoples Jones has to, be locked into your starting lineup as at least a wide receiver three. I think he could be trusted now. You do something like that 6 weeks in a row, and I will say this, Nando. How about this? Njoku's been out for a little bit now. You wonder if, Peoples Jones is getting the more targets and the love and everything because Njoku's out. Can this offense sustain three big targets? They want to run the ball. They want to run Chubb 20 times a game. Give Hunt his which Hunt's having such a bad season, isn't he, Nando? It's like
Like
he's
he demanded a
so
trade. Maybe they're spiting him.
maybe it's crazy. Week after week, I look and it's just he just isn't playing as much as he has in past years. So he's unplayable, to be honest with you, right now. And that's why I'm shocked that he didn't get moved at the trade deadline a couple weeks ago. But anyway, you wonder if Peoples Jones is just getting all this because Njoku's out of the lineup, and that once Njoku comes back in, if he is fully healthy, Peoples Jones goes back to being that third look in the offense most weeks, and then those numbers start to fall back to the 3 for 30s and stuff like that. So as long as Njoku's out, you got to comfortably put Donovan Peoples Jones in your lineup.
You mocked me.
I did. I mocked you about a lot of things, Nando, and you were right about a lot of things, and that just goes to show how messed up of a season it is. How'd
Good
you like that backwards compliment, backhanded compliment?
old Chrissy V.
Who else we got here, Nando? We're playing
Oh, hold on.
Nando Bingo. For all of us that love to play Nando Word Association Bingo at home, we've mentioned Peoples Jones, we mentioned Foreman, Fields.
You've mentioned most of them.
No.
And tried to co-opt them as your own. Oh, I drafted Justin Fields everywhere, everyone.
I mean,
I own seven Geno Smith rookie cards.
Gino, we didn't. There you go. He got it in, people. Cross up Gino Smith on your Nando Bingo list. People are loving this game. I get text messages. Are we playing Nando Bingo this week? Nando name Bingo?
Go ahead.
I think you got them all, Nando. I think
There'll
you
always
got
be
them
more.
all.
So,
Yeah,
week
this week.
five, Cleveland played
Wait, wait, wait,
the
wait, wait, wait. Hold on one
Chargers.
second. Hold on one second, Nando. Hold on one second, because I just want to. I wrote one thing down here. Speaking of the Browns and Peoples Jones, if you're a playoff team, okay, you got your eyes set on the playoffs. You're looking like, you're a 7-3, 8-2 team here, and you don't have Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, Justin Fields, Pat Mahomes, maybe even Lamar. Actually, and Lamar. Okay, those five guys. Maybe I'm forgetting one or two that whatever. And Deshaun Watson is available still on your waiver list. Now is the time tonight. If you listen to this Wednesday, go get him. He's a couple weeks out. Okay, this is the time to make the move for Deshaun Watson. Go into the playoffs. If you don't have one of those top five quarterbacks, you go into the playoffs. You turn your fantasy team over to Deshaun Watson. We're seeing on a weekly basis what these quarterbacks that can help you out on the ground are doing. That's all the rage this year. You're not going to find him off the waiver wire unless his name is Deshaun Watson. So that's it. If Watson's still available, this is your last call for Deshaun Watson.
I wonder, do you think they'll do something weird where they're like, Jacoby's our starter?
Oh my God. I can't believe you just said that. Think about
Why?
what you just said. Of all the crazy things you say, why? Why?
Yeah, why?
I'm gonna let you answer your own question. But first, for you to ask that on the Athletic podcast, okay? You need to be committed.
I don't understand what you're getting.
You need to be sent to like a psychiatrist or something. How about he's the highest paid player? They let him hit the lotto. $250 million. It's idiotic questions. This is what drives the listeners at home.
This is football.
Wait, time out. Are the Browns 8-2?
I'm just saying.
Wait, no. I'm saying.
He hasn't thrown an interception in 3 games.
Are the Browns like first place, killing it, Brissett's MVP candidate, what? Or do we have a $250 million quarterback that they traded the world for, gave him all the money in the world, and
who's
waited
rusty,
this
who
long?
Can't practice with the team, who's not in game shape.
Okay.
You should throw him right into the fire?
I can't wait till this show comes out and you get dragged all over. Where? Twitter.
You're gonna go run Twitter's to your gonna, favorite podcast after. Okay, guys, guess what Nando said? Sure. Let's laugh at him again.
Oh, 100%. Make sure this is on your stupid ass rundown that you put out every week on Twitter. By the way, you hate Twitter so much, but you put a laundry list of my rundown making fun of me.
No, I don't.
You make fun of me. Yes, you do.
You write
everything
the rundown.
Is smug.
Write the rundown.
The rundown is
to me
smug.
One thing at a time.
It's shots at me. Oh, Chris cries about his team. Another Chris has to do this. Chris, man, it's all smug shots at me. You put it out on Twitter, and I take it. But now,
wait, where am I supposed to put it?
Twitter is going to drag you for your Jacoby Brissett take. I can't wait for it.
I don't think so, man. I really.
Oh, you don't think so? Okay,
no.
Good. Okay. Let's say no more. We will wait and see, my friend.
Yeah.
Do you sit Watson for Jacoby Brissett?
I didn't say that. I said, what if they say Jacoby's our guy? That's exactly what I said.
Okay. Jacoby's our guy, Deshaun. Sorry, that $250 million contract, we'll just, we'll forget about that. Anyway, Nando, you know who else I'm loving under the radar?
Actually, hold on. Let me look at the most viewed players because you're basically just going down.
Oh, you're never going to get this.
Christian Watson?
No. No, but you know what? That Green Bay offense all of a sudden took a step in the right direction, finally. They're going to beat Tennessee on Thursday night. They get Tennessee, short week at home. This win, I don't think Green Bay is a good team by any stretch of the imagination. But watch Green Bay get on a little roll here. They were 3-6. They win a big game at home. I didn't expect them to versus Dallas. They pulled that one out of nowhere. Rodgers gets... the weapon that it looked like he's been searching for 10 weeks in Watson, who's been, the kid's gotten 12 concussions this year. He's gotten hurt 100 times. It's amazing.
He's hurt right now. He hurt his ankle, too.
He's hurt. I mean, it's crazy. Who's playing? Nobody knows. But they're supposed to get Randall Cobb back. Lazard's finally looking like he's healthy. It's just they're getting healthier. And now that Watson has established himself as someone that it looks like Rodgers can trust. Everybody's going to throw. We're going into week 11. The wave of wire is tonight. Everyone is going to throw,
everything at Christian Watson.
Everything at Christian Watson.
Which I think that's foolhardy a little bit.
I don't, because it's week 11. You have 3 weeks left to fat before you go into the playoffs.
One good week.
Yeah, maybe. But guess what, Nando? Do you remember the Odell Beckham year when he was a rookie? And he was hurt, and then he came back. He showed up in like week 8 or 9. He had one or two. He popped right off he had that one or two good games. Then he had one big game, and then he was sitting on waiver wires. And it was like week 10 or 11. Everybody threw their money at him, and then he went on, and he was the league winner, as a rookie. The last 6 weeks, he was dropping 150 and 2 touchdowns every week, and he won everybody everything that year. And who knows, Could Christian Watson be that guy? Maybe.
People are talking about emptying out their remaining fab budgets.
Yeah.
Like 80% of what's remaining on fab.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with it. Where else are you going to get a difference maker in a year like this off the waiver wire?
Are we sure he's a difference maker?
No.
He gets hurt. He gets hurt all the time. Aaron Rodgers has a thumb injury and he sucked on it.
Nando, I don't think you really know what we're looking at in competitive leagues and the high stakes market on the waiver wire right now.
Well, sure, high stakes things, yeah. I mean, if you're that good, you should have already had him on your roster, right?
Yeah, and he was. He was rostered. No, not me in particular. I actually picked him up in the New York Super last week and didn't play him. How about that?
Huh. Wow.
Chris claims to have picked up Christian Watson last week.
I mean, it's on record. You go to the NFFC site. I picked him up and didn't play him. And didn't play him. I don't know if you heard me right. I did not play him.
Hey, did Goat District send you a rundown?
Just goes to show you. Don't worry about it, Nando. We're not talking about that right now.
Let's do some of their questions.
Question number one from the Goat District guys. How do you deal with a co-host such as Nando DeFino that says the most absurd things and asks the most ridiculous questions on a weekly basis? Wow. Do you want to take that one, Nando? Go ahead.
Name me the top five absurd things I've said this year.
Number one, Jacoby Brissett could be the starting quarterback even when Watson returns.
I don't think that's absurd.
That was number one, two, three, four, and five. So there you go. And you don't think it's absurd, which is even more absurd. How about that? But anyway, you throw all the money at Christian Watson because if you can potentially get a guy that is in your starting lineup, even if he's a solid wide receiver two or solid three, then yeah, that's what you've been saving your money for. And if you're going to the playoffs or if you're fighting for a league title right now and you could go to the wire and add a piece that goes right into your starting lineup, it could be 15, 20 points a week. You're not getting that this year. We've been waiting for it all year. It's not happening. So now for in week 10, a solid receiver in an offense where you have a big-time Hall of Fame quarterback, such as a Roger attached to it, there it is. It's no different than a Kadarius Toney. If Kadarius Toney was available on the waiver wire at the high-stakes level right now, it would be 100% of your money. Because you're getting him with Mahomes in a big offense. Things have to break right. Nobody wanted Kadarius Toney on their team 2-3 weeks ago. Then he gets traded. Then he winds up in a big-time offense. Then the top two receivers ahead of him go down. And now here we are. This is just things that happen, you know? So, you know, opportunities become available. That's why we mentioned Elijah Moore. This league is crazy. You know what else? Speaking of Elijah Moore and Kadarius Toney and all guys that busted so bad this year and sank your fantasy team, why don't we bring up Allen Robinson? We talked about the Rams early and didn't bring up Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson's been right there with Toney and Moore as bust, huge bust. But now Cooper Kupp goes down. Maybe Cooper Kupp had to go down to save Allen Robinson's season or shares. You know, if Stafford is back out of this concussion, which he still hasn't cleared, by the way, and maybe they sit him out another week, which at that point I wouldn't play any Ram. But if Stafford is back, someone's got to catch the ball in this offense. Stafford's not going to complete six passes a game. Someone's going to have decent numbers at the end of the day, whether it be Higbee or Robinson or Van Jefferson or Skoranek. Who's it going to be? Maybe Allen Robinson is the guy that steps up now, and Stafford is like, all right, buddy, here you go. You're going to have an opportunity. And Robinson starts turning out some 7-for-70 in a touchdown type games. You know, maybe he gets on a 3 or 4 week hot streak where you can look at your bench and go, okay, yeah, he was forgotten about. I still have him rostered and never even thought about playing him. But without Cooper Kupp, 100 targets a game just opens up here in this Rams offense. Maybe Stafford spreads it around. Who knows? We'll have to wait and see. But maybe Robinson's that guy that comes out of nowhere. Been a crazy year, and it just keeps getting crazier.
So, did you ever read Mad Magazine when you were a child?
I did. Yes.
You know, like how you remember the back cover was like a fold,
yeah,
a fold in.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what the show is, because what you just said for the last 7 minutes, without taking a breath or letting anyone else talk,
I know,
was the answer. That was the answer to the Cooper Kupp question. Do you understand that, right?
You answered that.
I wish like people need to fold out these middle 40 minutes.
The fact that you just compared what I just did to a Mad Magazine fold-in, it just shows where your brain is. I don't even know how you got one from the other, okay? But props to
I want to ask the Welsh to like cut out the last half hour so we could just get that part right after the Cooper Kupp question.
You want to cut it out so you don't get laughed off of Twitter for your Jacoby Brissett take. That's
why I'll say it again. I'll say it again 100 times. It's not a take. It was just a hypothetical.
No. Oh, now you're changing your mind. It was a hypothetical.
It is a hypothetical.
Anyway.
What if they say?
To answer your question, no, it wasn't. Because when you asked it early on, you know, when you asked it seven straight times, the Cooper Kupp question, I told you there is no right answer because it could just like it could be Ben Skowronek.
You could, yeah, you could have said, well, you know what I would do?
Down and eating breakfast with him, and maybe that's the answer. But maybe it's Allen Robinson. But guess what?
It's spend 80% of your budget on Christian Watson because that's a guy you can slide in there who might have who might have an impact.
But I can't answer that question. But my point is this, Nando, and this is infuriating. I can't answer that question because unless I jump into everyone's league that's listening – you know, there's people listening that are in 10-team leagues. They go to the waiver wire. They're looking at, like, Darnell Mooney's of the world. It's like, all right, this is a good player here. And then you talk into high-stakes players, and there's nothing available on waiver wires. So all you can do is go to your bench and take your fifth or fourth receiver and move him in. So it's a question that there's really no answer to unless
– I disagree. It was strategy. I know. We'll never meet on this. Well, let's just move on to something else.
Let's just move on. Go ahead. What's on your rundown?
Thanksgiving next week.
Oh, my favorite day of the year.
Yes. I know. Mm-hmm. You write about it every year.
Every year I write about it. I'm going to try not to, but I mean, it's Thanksgiving. What do you want? I got to. What's my favorite thing about Thanksgiving now, though?
Oh, the food. The pie.
What's the best pie?
I think you said.
Oh, I write about it every year.
No, it was pumpkin or sweet potato. It's one of those smooth ones.
Sweet potato? Ew, that's disgusting. Are you crazy?
Is it pumpkin? With ice cream on top.
I hate pumpkin pie.
Whatever it is has ice cream on top of it. Pecan pie warmed up with ice cream on top of it.
Attaboy.
There it is. I know, friends.
Rank your top three Thanksgiving pies.
I don't like pie, so none. Apple, I guess.
What a terrible! I don't like pie. I
mean, apple pie done correctly, I'll take, but everything else is kind of boring, you know.
Yeah, the only answer is pecan pie for our listeners at home. If you don't like pecan pie, especially on Thanksgiving, there's nothing better than you finish your Thanksgiving dinner in between, you know, games. And by the way, this year I'm digging the lineup. My New York Giants get to play finally again on Thanksgiving versus the Dallas Cowboys. So that's going to be a great middle of the day game to look forward to.
You like the Giants again now that they're good.
Oh, stop. I'm a Giants fan, but I'm a fantasy guy first. So, and I'm speaking of, I know I haven't talked about him in a while, but my guy Saquon getting the Lions this upcoming week. I can't wait to sit down and watch that off his huge performance versus the Houston Texans. Now that you know what, now's a good time. Do you remember? I know I'm bouncing all over the place.
You really are.
I really am. You know what, I'm going to get back to this point in a second. Remind me to get back to the Giants and Saquon Barkley. But there's nothing better than after eating and football the whole day, you sit down to the night game with a nice warm piece of pecan pie with a scoop of vanilla ice cream on top.
I can't believe 5 minutes ago you complained we don't talk about fantasy, and you've just basically
you asked the Thanksgiving question. I'm just
no, I didn't. I said Thanksgiving's coming up next week, and then you ran with it.
Football and food. That's it. I mean, that's the best day of the year.
I was going to ask you about teams on a short week.
I mean, whatever. Anyway, back to Barkley. Do you remember? Which I'm sure you don't, but in like our preseason episode leading into the season, we talked about some bets that I put. And I told you that one of my bigger bets was I took a shot on Saquon Barkley to lead the league in rushing, 49-1 odds.
Yeah.
Right now, Saquon Barkley leads the league in rushing.
How about that?
And it looks like it's a four-man race. If you look at the rushing leader stats, it's the big dogs up there. After Barkley, it's the two guys you knew would be there, Henry and Chubb. They're right behind them. I think the numbers off the top of my head, I think Barkley's got like 931 and Henry's got like 920 and Chubb's like got like 920, like right in that area. They're right lumped together. And then I think Josh Jacobs is fourth. He's a little bit behind. I'm not that worried about Josh Jacobs. Maybe I should be. But as we go into week 11 here, okay, with 7 weeks left, It's looking like it could form into this three-man race between Barkley, Henry, and Chubb. And I'm just throwing it out there. Hopefully, I didn't jinx him. But I've been sitting on this for the last couple of weeks. I've been excited, he's got the Lions. Like I said, I'm hoping that he can have another big game, maybe extend the lead over Henry and Chubb. And the sweat is going to start up real soon. Just throwing that out there.
Hey, I'll be rooting for you.
Thank you. Thank you. I would hope so. Steak dinner on me if it comes through. How about that?
Well, we skipped the one for baseball, so.
Where's my money for baseball? Didn't we win?
I didn't ask where the money is. I asked where the
That's
steak
what you
dinner is.
did. Live on the show, you said, "Hey, we won baseball money. Where is it?"
Yeah. It didn't show up in my account because it was you who signed
Well,
up
why
for
would
it.
it?
That's all I.
It was under my name, just like in past years. If the team wins, that is under your name. The money goes to you.
Well, I'm sorry I
So,
didn't keep track of who's was under whose.
sorry. Yeah, all right. You just act
All right, go
like
ahead.
you
Let's get
get
back to
baseball
your look.
money.
We only have
Anyway,
about
back to the
5 minutes.
things. You know who's an under the radar receiver that
Oh wait,
I
I do have
think
a
can
water here.
really? Oh, okay. Let's.
I want to guess. Give me some hints, see if I can guess.
Nah.
Come on, let everybody can play along at home.
He was one of my favorite mid-round targets at the receiver position during draft season. Owned a ton of shares of him, talked about him a ton, wrote about him a ton. He was a hot name in late August in draft season, and then his season got off to a crappy start. He's on a terrible team.
I'm thinking Courtland Sutton, but he's not a mid-round.
No, I mean, what a terrible guess. How about that?
Keep going.
How do you come up with Courtland Sutton based
Because
on
you
me
love
saying
Russell
he's a
Wilson.
mid round? No, based on me
Yeah,
saying
I
he
just
was a
said I want to say
mid-round
Courtland
pick.
Sutton, but you said mid-round.
Okay. Listen, you'll never get this.
You know, you got two ears and one mouth.
Wow.
I know you know that poster. All right, go
So
ahead.
deep, so deep. Let me kill the suspense because you'll never get it.
Well,
But
oh yeah, thanks for hey, I love this guy so much and I wrote about him a lot and I dream about him and I write poems about him. Who is it?
he's an AFC team, AFC South wide receiver. How about that?
AFC South wide receiver.
Bad team.
I don't know any bad teams in the AFC South. That's a problem.
Nico Collins
Paris
is
Campbell.
no. Nico Collins,
Oh yeah. All
no,
right.
no. He had 10 targets this past week, and he just jumped off the screen. And it was like what I was hoping for in September and October. I say this because I still have him sitting on the end of my bench. I haven't played him in a while. I'm sure he's available in a lot of our listeners' leagues. Okay. I think they're going to try and down the stretch here. They're a team that's always, I mean, obviously they want to be a run first team with Pierce. Okay. But every team's got to throw. And I think he's going to be the top target here. After what Brandon Cooks did to this team and just took off and didn't want to play, they stripped Brandon Cooks of his captaincy. They're not going to be like, "Hey, let's keep Brandon Cooks happy as our top guy and feed him and make sure he gets his." Like, that's out the door once he ran off from them.
Right.
And the fact that Nico Collins got 10 targets, looked good. I think that maybe these last 8 weeks he could be a serviceable starter for your team. I wouldn't be shocked if every week you see a 6 for 60, 6 for 80, and a touchdown. And maybe, it took a while, and he was about an eighth, ninth round draft pick in the high stakes level. We were all trying to get him. He kept moving up from the 120s to the 110s to the hundreds to by the time. It was early September. People were taking him in the 80s overall, 80s and early 90s, and it was a terrible pick early in the season. But I think these last 8 weeks, if you're looking for a really under the radar name, Nico Collins, I think, could really help your fantasy team.
So Nico Collins is the sixth answer to the Cooper Kupp question that you've brought up since you had your meltdown. Thanks again. Thanks, everybody.
I can't with you.
This is pretty, I know.
I really
Yeah,
can't.
you put up with so much.
I really do. I really do. And the people
Anyway,
know it. And the people know it.
we got
They
time for you to talk
have
about one more thing.
sympathy.
Yeah, the people, you're really on
They
the
have
side of the people
sympathy.
when you crap on their leagues and tell them how bad they
I
suck.
don't crap on their leagues, but just everything
Oh, who
is
plays in a
different.
12-team league? The high stakes is life for me.
I help my father's friend out with his fantasy team. Do I trade Evan Ingram?
That was a good question, actually.
That was a terrible question, but you're lucky I didn't go in on you on that
Evan
one.
Ingram's in a bye. They're crappy tight ends.
Do I trade for George Kittle?
No. Yeah, should you?
Let me trade a mid-tier tight end for an upper-tier tight end. Anybody want to do that out there?
It's not a straight swap. You'd have
sure.
to and.
I'll do that.
All right, pick your last topic.
We really do forget that we're like talking to like the public here.
It's no, you do. You. Actually,
it's really
yeah.
like me and you arguing with each other.
I'm sure everybody loves it. That's why we have all those one-star reviews.
They're on. We can't listen to them anymore. Hey, listen, we get more better reviews than bad reviews, don't we?
I don't look at. I don't know. I don't look at them.
No, you send them to me every week. Stop.
I don't.
So you do too.
Pick your last topic, and then we gotta go. Well, you gotta go. Chrissy's big night. He's gotta get dressed up. He's gotta gargle some salt water.
You gotta gargle some salt water. You're the one that's sick, buddy.
I feel great, man.
No, I mean, listen. What I don't know, Nanda.
I'm taking my elderberry.
I'm glad that Lamar Jackson's coming back. I hope that he could turn around his season and stop giving me average performances.
You say that really like you know he's coming back.
Well, his schedule is great. I'll say that much. So if you're looking for a quarterback that, I mean, no one's going to trade him. I don't even want to say that. But his schedule looks great. And you know, it sounds like Mark Andrews will be back. So maybe he can start giving more than just these average games. But
they're winning, though.
Yeah. I'm excited to see your boy Justin Fields again, see if he can put up these video game numbers that he's doing. You know, we talked last week about how he broke the rushing record with 178 yards. Well, this past week, what did he run for?
146 or something.
Yeah, it was like in the 150 range again. It's absolutely out of control. And now Khalil Herbert goes on IR today, which, I mean, I was really digging Khalil Herbert a couple weeks ago, and he started to cool off this past week. But now you take him out of the backfield. There's only so many times they can run Montgomery. Treston Ebner is a name that'll be kind of popular on the waiver wire in competitive leagues now that Herbert should be gone for a while. He'll get some run behind Montgomery. He'll step into.
What about Chase Claypool?
What about him?
Chase Claypool's got some carries this year, doesn't he? Didn't he have like 4 in week 2 or something?
Okay. What do you want me to do? Yeah, I mean, yeah, when he was in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
So you just think he's going to come to Chicago and get what? 10 carries on end of rounds?
10, but he might have like a good 5. I don't think he had 4 in a game. They're all end of rounds. Hold on. Oh, yeah, he had 6 rushes for 36 yards in week 1.
Yeah.
With Pittsburgh.
I mean, I'd have to go back and see if they were actually like designed running back runs, but I highly doubt it.
Yeah, go check out the tape.
I will.
Watch. I guarantee you, if everyone listens to this show and then the Goat District, you're gonna Chris. You know what I noticed is Chase Claypool had 6 rushes.
I can guarantee you, I won't bring that up or talk about that.
For 36 yards.
Only you out of the blue while I'm talking about the Bears backfield will say, "Hey, Chase Claypool, he'll get some carries."
Well, I feel like
do with that, but I mean Claypool's disappointed since coming over to the Bears.
Which he's played two games in an offense that's hard to learn.
All right, well, listen, how about this? Go out and pick up Ebner before you pick up Claypool if Claypool's somehow available on your wire.
And we'll see you back here next week where we'll talk about Chase Claypool's 8 carries. And then Chris will say he drafted Chase Claypool and loved him all this time.
I own 0 shares of Claypool. Don't have him once over a zillion leagues that I'm in.
And then Chris will have to leave early for Call Me Daddy.
You know what bet I put in before, Nando? Spread and money line, Colts. Your Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, man. Against the Eagles?
Plus 7 points. I took the points versus the Eagles. Love that. I actually pounded that one very hard. And I money lined them also, plus 250. I think you see the Eagles reel off a couple losses here. They lose Goddard, A.J. Brown, banged up. They lose their slot corner, Maddox. Colts coming home for their first home game. They're on fire. The team's maybe coming together, rallying around your boy, Jeff Saturday, coach of the year. Already, I think you said you had him as.
No, I didn't.
You know, you saw last night that, again, this is a couple weeks in a row, teams are running all over the Eagles. They're soft in the middle right now. And I think Jonathan Taylor, your boy Jonathan Taylor is going to have a big game again versus the Eagles. I think the Colts are going to upset the Colts are going to upset the Eagles, take them with the points and money line, and thank me later. How's that sound?
Sounds great. I like
it. And I can't believe the Saints are only 2 points. And the Saints suck, don't get me wrong. Can't believe the Saints are only a 2-point favorite at home versus this Rams team that
is horrible.
Without Cooper Kupp. I mean, this team was terrible with Cooper Kupp. Now you take Cooper Kupp out of the what is this team?
There is a school of thought that Cooper Kupp might have been messing up the offense by commanding so much attention.
Oh, you're crazy.
I heard it.
Shocked. How about this? I will not be shocked if the Rams don't win a game the rest of the season. I think they're that bad. I think they're one of the three or four worst teams in football.
Yeah, and they're boring to watch, man. Like, just get over yourself, Sean McVay, and give Daryl Henderson 20 rushes, right?
No. And with that, we will wrap it up for the week. And make sure when the show comes out, all of you, make sure you direct your love at Nando DeFino and let him know how great of a host he is.
I just did a thing where I deleted 14,000 tweets. It's very exciting.
14,000 tweets?
Yeah, apparently I had like 19,000 tweets. Mostly retweets. So anyway, let's get out of here.
You know what? You'll have to tell me about
it. It's a company called Semi-Femoral. They do it for you. You set the parameters,
sounds
they do it
great.
For you.
Sounds interesting. Anyway, love you all out there. Good luck going into week 11. Thank you for dealing with us for a full hour. I know sometimes we're nauseating to listen to, but you love us for it.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Have a lovely time. We will talk to you later.